well, Jesus isn't on earth anymore. Well, that's why we got to be a functional body. Because we are not just called a body, we are called the body of Christ. And in the body is all the healing there ever was in him. And we have the responsibility of being in this world what he was. Amen.
When was the last time you needed someone's help? Did you ask for it? Hello and thanks for being with us today here on Destined for Victory. As Pastor Paul Shepherd said a moment ago, we, the body of Christ, are called to be what Jesus was when he lived on earth. We have an obligation to reach out to those in need, to serve one another, to help one another. But as you'll see today, we who are in need also have a responsibility to ask for that help. It's a great reminder of our calling in Christ to help others when we see a need and to ask for help when we have needs of our own. If you can't stay with us for the full broadcast, remember, you'll find any recent Destined for Victory message on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And now, here is Pastor Paul with today's message, We Are a Body.
I came to tell somebody, the devil took his best shot, and you might feel half dead. But even when you're half dead, that means you're half alive. Oh, I got a word for somebody. The Lord told me to show up and tell somebody half dead that you need to quit confessing you're half dead and start thanking God that you're half alive. You ever read that story? That language comes from the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember how the man was robbed and beaten on the road and left half dead. Oh, and some folk pass by saying, what a shame, these robbers, somebody need to do something about these robbers, and they pass it on by. Just like church folk. Lord, I tell you, the devil is busy this evening. But one man came by, and he wasn't even religious. That's why they call him the Good Samaritan. They just called him by his ethnicity, but that wasn't the thing, that he was a Samaritan. The thing was that he had a good enough heart to realize when somebody is wounded, no need of you commenting on it, no need of you speculating about it. Why don't you pick them up and put them on your beast and carry them somewhere where they can get some help? God, this church has got to be a place where hurting people come in and somebody cares about them. Somebody cares more about them than getting the brunch on time. And so, if you're half dead and you're listening to this message here in this live audience or listening to a broadcast or a podcast, wherever you're hearing it, God is saying, you might feel half dead, but look at what I did. I made sure you didn't get killed. I made sure you were still here. I'm sure there's somebody listening to this message who even tried suicide at some point, and God didn't let that work. I said he didn't let that work. You were unsuccessful trying to finish yourself off. Because God wanted you to know that if you're half dead, that means you're half alive. And if I'm at work in you, I am at work to will and to do of my good pleasure. And although the devil started something nasty, God is going to finish with something good. So he hears. He can't see, but he hears. And he hears the name Jesus and hears that he's coming by. Now, here's why I'm telling you this, you who are wounded, you who are broken, you who are diseased. When he hears that Jesus is nearby, look at the rest of verse 47. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I came to tell you, that's what you got to do. You got to stop sitting somewhere feeling sorry for yourself and saying, if they cared, look like somebody would have come. When you hear there's help nearby, when you hear there's a miracle worker nearby, when you hear Jesus is nearby, cry out. You say, well, Jesus isn't on earth anymore. Well, that's why we got to be a functional body, because we are not just called a body. We are called the body of Christ. And in the body is all the healing there ever was in him. And we have the responsibility of being in this world what he was. Amen. And so when you realize help is nearby, do like this man and cry out. Cry out. Say something. The saying these days, because of all the terrorism and stuff, is if you see something, say something. I came to tell you there's a body of Christ version of that. When you know help is nearby, cry out. Open your mouth. Be a nuisance. Do whatever you got to do. Don't let anybody ignore you. Y'all won't have the right to ignore me. I'm not going to make that easy for you. Sometimes you got to make a nuisance of yourself in order to get what you need. Sitting home saying, I wish somebody would call me. Have you ever thought about calling them? Watch this. Even if you have allowed bitterness or resentment to build up for a while, because sometimes, you know, if you let the enemy talk to you, remember, he's like these diseases I'm describing that work against healing. The enemy doesn't want you to get well, and so what he'll do while you're sitting home is say, you notice nobody called you. You one of the greeters, and who greeting you? Come on, I'm telling you what he does. Because see, he can talk to you all day because you're at home. He just cozy up to you. Have you noticed that? Now, they'll work you to death over there at that church. They'll work you. They always tell you they need something. They always need something. But when you need something, who's looking out for you? And then you sitting there wounded. That is right. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. Devil, you do have a point. Remember, even when he sounds like he's telling the truth, the Bible said he's a liar from the beginning. He just makes the lie sound truthful. That is right. And I'm here to tell you, you got to be like Bartimaeus. And you got to realize, I'm the one blind. I can't afford to get mad at them. They can all see. Why am I going to cop an attitude with the seeing folk? But even if you've let that set in and you need to get rid of it, but even if it's still there, still cry out. Even if the first thing you say after you cry out is, how come none of y'all did nothing for me? If that's the first part of your crying out, go ahead and cry out. Y'all make somebody sick. Always want me to help. But now that I need help, nobody doing anything for me. Well, still you're crying out. Now you got a chance for somebody to have some compassion. Some of them going to say, oh, no, you did not. So expect that. If you cop an attitude and then the first time you cry out, it's with complaining. Somebody going to say, hold just 1 minute. But somebody is going to say, you know what? You're right. I've noticed that you haven't been there and I haven't taken the time to reach out. Please forgive me. Somebody's going to do that if you've built some connectedness. But if you haven't built connectedness, how dare you sit home talking about nobody cares about me? Who did you connect yourself to so that they can know you're in pain, so that they can know you're going through a tough time? So, my brothers, my sisters, if you are hurting, you got to cry out. Now, watch the rest of this. He cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. Oh, that's how some of us do it. When you finally cry out, because you recognize I got to get some help, and they can ignore me if I'm sitting over here. But they'll get irritated enough to come check. Yeah. if I cry out. This first group only comes over to say, shut up. But what you got to tell yourself is, well, I got their attention now. And now that I know that my crying out is irritating them, same verse. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Y'all thought I was loud the first time. Check this one out. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want it bad, go after it hard. Go after it with urgency. I want it. I'm not going to be denied. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I can't stay the way I am. Once you see you got folk attention, don't let them go back to business as usual until somebody has addressed your need. I always picture this first group as the ushers. Ushers would come with that hand behind the back. Y'all ever been to church with it? That hand behind the back. One of these days, somebody gonna explain to me what was with that one hand. All my life growing up, here they come, hand behind the back. Jesus is preaching, and you're a little loud. You need to calm down. He cried all the more. Now that you know you got their attention, might as well make a show enough fool of yourself. Cry all the more. Why is that important? Keep reading. Jesus, when he heard that second one, he stopped. You see that verse 49? He stood still. He said, wait. Man over there yelling. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, I want to see just how proactive he will be. Because I want this story to go down through the centuries as a lesson to people in every generation.
There's plenty more coming your way on today's Destined for Victory, so stay with us. Remember, in addition to radio, today's program is also available on demand and on the go through our free mobile app. Search Destined for Victory in your app store. You can also access the broadcast through Alexa by enabling the Destined for Victory skill. Or visit PastorPaul.net to hear any recent Destined for Victory message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. Well, if you have a need today, you have two choices. You can be silent and hope someone notices, or you can speak up and let someone know you need help. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's message. We are a body.
So Jesus, who could have, he stopped, so clearly he's heard the man, he could have made a beeline to where the yelling was coming from himself, right? Think with me as you read. Jesus could have gone over there, but Jesus is thinking about you. Centuries down the road, he's saying, I want to show my people what to do when you desperately need something positive to happen in your life. So he cries out the louder, gets Jesus' attention, and then Jesus commands him to be called. Somebody go tell him that I'm calling him. See, you can't live your life with a welfare mentality. Oh, this is going to be rough. I'm going to just go there. Some of you all, the problem isn't being on financial welfare, because welfare can serve people well who need a hand up to get to a place where they can do what they need to do. Do not curse a hand up. A hand up is good. Don't call it all hand out, because you're painting everybody with one brush. wouldn't work a job if you gave him a job. How you know? Quit putting your mouth where your experience has never been. I don't know about you, but every now and then I run into folk who the worst thing they would see as their future is to stay where they are. They desperately want to get up. They desperately want to get moving in a good direction. But right now they're sitting on the side of the road and they got to have somebody to address them. And we got to stop painting people and talking about folk you have never even met. He's giving them a chance to distinguish himself from folk who only want to be served all the time. Some folk want to sit right here. If you love me, get over here and bring your wallet with you. You do know there are folk like that, don't you? See, there are people like that. I just resent the fact that some of us are prone to paint everybody with one color. Some people do have a welfare mentality. The mentality says the world owes me something. That's a mentality you have to dismiss from your life. Because if we gave to you what's in your head, would gobble it up and leave you in the same condition. That's why poor folk going down getting lottery tickets. I said I'm going there. Poor folk getting lottery tickets makes no sense because you don't have the mentality that'll help you understand what to do if you were to get it. Don't believe me? Look at all of the documentaries that talk about folk who came suddenly into millions through a lottery or through getting a contract in sports or through some windfall. But if you give somebody with a poor mentality, a welfare mentality, millions of dollars and their head is wrong, it's only a matter of time before they destroy their lives. Because it's not about getting it. It's about learning what it means, how it is supposed to serve God's purpose in your life. Money is a wonderful servant, but it is a horrible master. And most poor people elevate it to the place of mastery. All they want is money. They sing about it with the OJs. I'm old school. I know you young folk, y'all got new money songs. But the first money song that ever meant something to me was the OJs and them. Money, 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 money. Yes, exactly. You've got to understand it's not about having it. It is about understanding the purpose it's supposed to serve. And if you are not living by his agenda, even if you have it, you'll be like that man Jesus described. That after building barns after barns, because he had so much grain but didn't have God's perspective on why God blessed him with the grain. Jesus said, then his soul is required of him. Translation, he dies. And Jesus asked the mocking question, then whose things shall these be? If you get it and don't know why God blessed you with it, you don't know how to manage it, and then on top of that, you're going to check out of here? He said, what difference did it make? That's why Jesus said, what does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? So this man, Jesus said, I could just walk over there directly and take care of it. But I'm going to use him as a case study to say that not everybody who needs healing is willing to do the right thing to live in health. It's one thing to get healed. It's another thing to live in health. So he says, no, I want him to show some proactivity. He's off to a good start because he has yelled to get attention. I like that proactivity, Jesus is thinking. But now let's just see. Does he have a welfare mentality? What do you mean by that, Pastor? If he had a welfare mentality, when the folk come over and say, Jesus is calling you, the welfare mentality says, well, I'm the one blind. I'm sitting here. He heard me. Tell him to get over here. Bring some money. And some healing. That's that mentality where somebody owes me something. And I am going to make them feel responsible to do something about it. You get that? Jesus could have done it, but no, he's using him as a case study. Let's see if he got an attitude or whether he's going to get up. When Jesus called for him, he said, bet. He got up. Y'all take me over there. Why? He called for me. I'm going. I'm not asking. I'm not complaining. I'm not going to put a guilt trip on him. I'm going. The onus is on him. He has a proper sense of seeing himself for what it really is. He says he doesn't owe me healing. I'm requesting healing. So if the guy with the healing says, come over to him, I'm not going to get in a prideful stance. He needs to come to me. He gets up and lets them lead him.
James 4:2 tells us that we have not because we ask not. If you have a need, don't hide out. Speak up. Cry out to God. Cry out to a pastor or to a brother or sister in Christ. As Pastor Paul said today, sometimes God wants to see if you're looking only to be healed or if you're willing to live the right way once you're healthy. If you are in need of healing today, we invite you to let us know. Visit PastorPaul.net and send us your prayer request, and we'll be happy to join you in prayer for that need. That's PastorPaul.net. While you're there, be sure to ask for Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, yours at no cost or obligation. You know, Destined for Victory has a need of its own. As a listener-supported ministry, we depend on your prayers and financial support to reach the world for Christ. And when you send a gift today, we'd like to bless you right back with a gift of our own, Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, The Power of Partnership. Based on Pastor Paul's message, We're Stronger Together, which aired earlier this month, The Power of Partnership reminds us that we were never meant to live out the Christian life alone. We need the help and encouragement of others along the way. Again, that's The Power of Partnership, a booklet from Pastor Paul Shepherd, and our gift to you by request for your gift of any size. Call 855-339-5500. Again, that number is 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. And you can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Once more, that's Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
You know, you got to make up in your mind that you want life change. Life change isn't going to come easy. It's not going to be convenient. You're not going to wake up one day and say, I don't know, I'm not jacked up anymore. No, everybody who goes from jacked up tidness to deliverance, to help, to wholeness, I'm getting better in that area of my life, it's because they went after it.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, We Are a Body. Until then, please remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.